Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I am Jim Galante. I am with Jeff Byers. Jeff, another game week. First road game heading out to Illinois. You still got the same excitement level?
No, I don't. I can't. What can I tell you? I will say I think the players probably do because they remember a couple of years ago and the agony that was. And I will say this, I do think, has the potential to be a sneaky, dangerous game. Illinois obviously has not looked all that impressive through the first 2 weeks. But I will say I think Toledo is probably the best team in the Mid-American Conference. And I think that they are certainly a very good football team. And I think Kansas, I'm really curious to see them the rest of the season. I think they may be a little better than what some people are giving them credit for. That being said, I mean, this is an Illinois team that got manhandled in that first half against Kansas. And I don't care if it's the best team in the MAC or not, it's the MAC, and you're a Big Ten school, and you won by 2 points. And so, yes, I have been underwhelmed by Illinois, even though I think there is a chance they are much better than what that 1-1 record and the closeness of the Toledo game might have you believe.
You know, Jeff, for me, what I like is it about the road game is this means I can be on my Barker lounger all day Saturday watching football.
Amen. And wings, pizza right there readily at the disposal. And yes, and a beer full of cold, or a fridge full of cold beers, not a beer full of cold fridges. That would be weird.
You're beginning to sound like you've already been partaking, but I'll tell you what, you of course just made Jim hungry. Wings.
All right. And I'm making myself thirsty. Beer.
Yes. All right. And see, now I'm distracted. All right. See how easily that happens. Well, we're going to look ahead to the Illinois game in a little bit, Jeff. But first, I thought now would be a good time after two games. I know we're not totally through the out-of-conference schedule, but we are hitting the Big Ten. I thought it would be a good time to take stock in this Penn State team. We know they weren't really challenged. West Virginia, certainly not by Delaware. But we had questions coming into the season, and I wanted to check in with you, your take on these things, see if there's still questions or if they've been answered yet. I'm going to start with one of the positions that has been an issue. Penn State fans will often talk about that, and that's defensive tackle. I don't think they've been bad at all, but I'm not sure they've been good either. I'm not sure if we've gotten any closer to answering our doubts about that position.
I agree with you. I think the depth is certainly better, but how good the depth or the starters are, I think, is still a question. I think West Virginia did some good things with its offensive line going against Penn State's defense, and in particular the middle. But I think you had a really good running quarterback, a really good running back, and actually a couple of good running backs, but one really good one, and a really veteran offensive line. And I think coming out of that game, you could look at that two ways. Again, 15 points against a veteran offensive line and a good running quarterback, good running back, you're doing okay. And they didn't shut them down, though, by any stretch. And I think, again, you come away, it's like, well, not awful, not great, not dominating by any stretch. And then against Delaware, I just don't think you get any real gauge in terms of where they're at in the national picture. I thought going into the season that Illinois might provide a good test, and they still may, but I don't think it's the test that I was hoping or expecting it would be back at the start of the season. And truthfully, Jim, I don't know that we're really going to know about where that defensive line is, and in particular the defensive tackles, more accurately, until we get to the Michigan game. I just Now, if they fall apart and Illinois runs for 300 yards, okay, then yes, we'll have an answer before then. I don't think they're going to fall apart. I think they're going to be good, not great, but solid, good enough, all the way to the Michigan game. And I think it's at Michigan that we're, and I know it's at home, I mean, against Michigan, that we're going to find out, okay, yep, these guys are stout and they can hold their own, or against the elite teams, they're still not, and I don't know if it's going to be big enough, strong enough, stout enough, whatever, however you want to term it. But I just don't think we're going to know until that Michigan game for sure how good that group is and how deep it truly is.
The positive spin on that, Jeff, is that means the thought is this team won't necessarily be tested until either Ohio State or Michigan.
Yeah, and I think Ohio State will be a test. I just don't think it's the same test that you get with Michigan. I mean, Michigan is going to want to bludgeon Penn State. Ohio State may find some cracks and maybe be able to do some good things. And again, other teams may as well. Iowa may be able to find some things in the middle of that defense too. But I mean, Michigan is the team that they want to just come and establish that line of scrimmage, blow Penn State off the line. And until we get to that game, I just don't know that we're going to know with any definitive answers. Because, yeah, I think Penn State is going to hold up in the interior against Illinois, against Iowa, against Ohio State. And it's not to say any of those games are gimmies as a whole. It's just I don't think the interior of the defensive line is going to be why Penn State loses any of those games, if they lose any of those games. I do think against Michigan, that's where it becomes, hey, this is the area of the game where it could be decided because of the play there. And again, until we see it against that group, I just don't think we are going to know with any degree of certainty what we have there in terms of, again, against the top competition. And let's face it, this team this year is expecting to be in the playoffs. That's where they want to be. That's where they're expecting. That's where they set their sights on. Well, if you get there, you've got to be able to hold up against the elite teams with the elite offensive lines.
I'm going to be curious if Brett Bielema tries to bludgeon Penn State, if they feel like that's the strategy to go with. That's what worked for them a couple years ago when they were putting, what was it? It felt like 10 offensive linemen on the field sometimes. I'll be curious if he looks to do the same kind of thing. I believe if I were him, I think I would go along that line. Jeff, the other position going into the season that was the question mark on the offensive side was the wide receivers. And part of that question was, is there a number one receiver? I think we've seen that there's depth at wide receiver, probably the similar answer that you gave for defensive tackle. But is there a number one guy?
I do think Keandre Lambert-Smith is the one guy, but I don't think there's a wide gap between him and the next four or five. And I think that's a good thing for Penn State. I don't think that speaks to any issues with Keandre Lambert-Smith. I think it speaks to how good that depth is in the receiving core. And I like the mix of players they have there. They have some size. They have some speed. They have some great route runners. They have, across the board, I think, really good blockers there. And they have a quarterback who can distribute the ball and recognize mismatches and where the opportunities are to exploit opposing defenses. I will say I had pretty high expectations and hopes for what I thought this passing game could develop into. I think they came out of the gate being what I was hoping they would eventually develop into. And I think that is really promising for Penn State. I think as these guys get more and more comfortable, Omari Evans gets more playing time and gets, you know, back to full strength here. I mean, you just add him into, I think you go at least I haven't sat down and counted this up, but it's got to be at least six deep right now that you're feeling pretty comfortable with it at wide receiver. And then you throw in the tight ends and the running backs to the mix. Again, the passing game, of all of the things I'm concerned about right now with Penn State, the passing game would be at the very bottom of that list. And that is from quarterback, offensive line to wide receiver through two games anyway.
I'm with you. And I think, yes, Lambert Smith has probably established himself as that first guy, but I'm not sure he's that superstar number one wide receiver, but I think that's okay because of this depth and because of the quarterback. Now, I've talked to, and coming up soon is Coach Caduti has been on our show and analyzed it and talked about his, he'll be on in our fourth quarter today, and I pre-recorded it, so I'm trying to pretend I haven't heard it. Well, I have heard it. And one of the things he talks about is Drew Aller's ability to go through his progressions and his reads. So it's not, okay, as a quarterback, I'm going to focus on that one guy who's my lead receiver. The ball may go to the third or fourth read, because that's the guy who will be open and he's going to go through that progression. With that in mind, I think having six guys who are capable of catching the ball, and as you pointed out, they're different shapes and sizes and speeds. And I especially like seeing that a Malik McLean gets to play and be a factor, because he looks different than the other wide receivers. He's 6'4", I believe. They don't have that with their other receivers, Jeff.
Yeah, I like the mix there. The one thing is, you're saying that much like I don't think we'll know with the interior of the defensive line until the Michigan game, I think we'll find out sooner rather than later. I don't know that it'll necessarily be this Saturday in Champaign. But the one caveat to that with Drew Aller is, you have to have time to go through your progressions. And through two games, he has. But I don't think this is a stellar West Virginia defense. And obviously, Delaware is an FCS school. I don't think Illinois has a top defense in the country, but I think this will be the best defense that Penn State has faced through the first three games. And again, it's not saying a whole lot. I don't think it's going to be a stiff, overwhelming challenge for Penn State. But Iowa then the following week, I think, is more of a challenge. And it will be interesting to see if opposing defenses get some pressure on Aller. How does that change things? Does he get rid of the ball quickly to the option that is available to him? That stuff we're going to find out, again, I think sooner rather than later.
Very good, Jeff. You brought up the offensive line. That'll be a segue into quarter number two.
Hey guys, this is Andrew from 409 Tailgate Club, here to talk to you about our new coffee barbecue dry rub set. Over the years, we've developed some great tailgate sauces and barbecue dry rubs, but our new coffee rubs are totally unique spice blends, low in sodium, and feature Happy Valley's finest coffee, W.C. Clark's, roasted right in the cheese shop in downtown State College. So head on over to 409tailgateclub.com, grab yourself some coffee rubs, and remember, always tailgate with honor. We are.
It's quarter number two on the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante along with Jeff Byers. It's quarter number two of our show. Jeff, we are taking a look at this Penn State team through two games, what questions are still out there, and not necessarily saying that the answer is a negative. We're just saying maybe we just haven't found out yet, and that's the case when you have two comfortable wins like this team had against West Virginia and, of course, FCS Delaware. When we finished quarter number one, you were making reference to the offensive line. We were talking about the wide receivers and how they were performing. But another part of this passing game, and nowhere on my list of question marks, by the way, is the quarterback, okay? That's not the case anymore. It just isn't.
Yep.
But if we want to look at the passing game, It's not just the quarterback. It's not just the wide receivers. It's also about the offensive line. In fact, the entire offense is about the offensive line. This season started with the announcement that bumps and bruises may mean you're out for the, you know, a medical retirement, which we found out about Lendon Tengwall, which no matter how you put it, did put a little bit of a dent into the depth of the team at the very least. We're all hoping that the offensive line this year will be solid through two games. What's your reaction to the offensive line?
I think they've been solid through two games against two less than stellar defenses. And so the questions to me are still there about how good and how consistent this group will be. And I think we will get more of an answer against Illinois. I do think Illinois' defense, again, it's not saying a whole lot that there'll be, I think, more of a challenge than West Virginia or Delaware. And listen, I think West Virginia did some good things too, by the way, with their defense. But I think Illinois is more stout, certainly up front. I mean, they've got a couple of really good defensive linemen that I think will test this Penn State offense, and in particular the offensive line. So, again, I don't think if Penn State moves the ball and the offensive line holds up well against Illinois that you're ready to declare, okay, Penn State's one of the top offensive lines in the country, now we can move on. But I do think if they struggle here and they have some problems, give up, you know, let's say four or five sacks to Illinois, then I think, you know, your eyebrows get raised and it's like, oh boy, there might be some issues here. So I think this is an important game for, I mean, it's Big Ten play, so it's important for everybody. But if you're asking me, the group that I'm most interested to see how they hold up on Saturday, it is the offensive line. And I feel good about it going in, but I do want to see, again, against a team that has some big-time defensive linemen, how does this group hold up? How are they opening the holes for the running backs? And is Drew Aller still able to make the progressions that he's been able to make through the first 2 weeks? I think we'll get a better indication, maybe not a definitive answer on exactly how good this offensive line is, but I think we'll get a better indication and we'll know, have a little better handle anyway on, okay, yep, this is definitely a group that has progressed in the right direction by the end of the game on Saturday.
And Jeff, I feel like they've shown that they're at least a solid unit. Where I start to get concerned when you get one starter out like Lendon Tengwall, going into the season, J.B. Nelson was depth. Now he's a starter. So that thins, and I think he's shown very well. The coaches have talked him up. But now you become a little bit thinner with the depth.
Yeah, and listen, Nelson has been really physical. I mean, it's what you want, obviously, in there. But I have been impressed with the way his aggressiveness, I guess, if you want to term it that way. The other thing I will say is, Jim, I do think that the Delaware game was significant in terms of building up that depth and getting those guys behind the starters some significant, substantial playing time, and they acquitted themselves well. And again, I know it's Delaware. I'm not willing to just yet anoint these guys, again, one of the top offensive lines in the country, but I think there's some really good growth there and some good indications about the direction they're moving. You know, a guy like Nick Dawkins, who I think gives them some depth at center, but it, because of his versatility, gives them some depth across the board. And I think that's the one thing you like about this offensive line is I think there's several pieces. To your point, they're a little thinner now, but they have three or four guys there, including in a couple of the starters, that, hey, if we get in a pinch, we can move you over to this position. And I think that's big. I think that versatility is important, and having guys that can play center or guard, or, you know, even a guard that may be able to move to tackle in a pinch for a short period of time, or vice versa. I think that stuff is important. How they're going to hold up against elite defensive lines, we'll see as the season goes along. And I don't think Illinois' defensive line is elite, but I think they have a couple of really good defensive linemen. I mean, I do think Penn State is going to get a better indication, and some of those guys on the line are going to get tested here on Saturday. And we'll see, again, how they fare. These next couple of weeks, the Illinois and Iowa games, I think, will give us a much better indication anyway of just where this offensive line is. And, you know, run blocking and pass blocking are very different anymore in college football. So, you know, that's the other thing is, are they able to do both, open up the holes for the running backs and protect Drew Aller so that he can continue going through those progressions that we talked about earlier?
And I do like the fact you mentioned Nick Dawkins. There's also Vega Ioane, who provides depth at guard.
Yes.
Drew Shelton has starting experience at tackle.
Yeah, and that Shelton, I think, is going to be a more and more important component of this offense as the season goes along, too.
How about, Jeff, are you at all concerned that there's the same issue with the passing game and the running game? We're seeing very few of those big plays. They're moving the ball, no doubt. When your starting quarterback completes 22 of 26, the running backs are averaging about 5 yards a carry, but we're not seeing the home runs being hit. Is that just a matter of how the defenses are playing them, or is there some cause for concern?
I don't think there's cause for concern because I think a couple of things. One is, yes, I think both West Virginia and Delaware were playing to try to prevent the big play. Delaware, I think a couple of times, had their defensive backs in the neighboring county to make sure that they were keeping the play in front of them, which, again, was smart. We talk about it all the time. It is difficult, no matter how good you are, to put together 12, 14 play drives without making mistakes that kill the drive. And Penn State did that consistently against Delaware. And I keep throwing in the, I get that it's Delaware, but you still got to do it. And I think Penn State did a good job of that. I also think Penn State has been relatively vanilla through these first two games. I don't think Penn State did a whole lot of let's go for the home run. Let's see what we can create. I think those home run plays are there. Nicholas Singleton was close a couple of times against West Virginia and probably was close. I didn't see it as much against Delaware, but regardless, the home run plays are there and will come. I'm just convinced of it. And I think in the Big Ten, you're going to get defenses playing more true. And I think, again, over the course of four quarters against most of these teams, yes, I think Penn State will get a couple of explosive plays that can help break a game open. And, you know, at least at this stage of the season, it is not something I'm concerned about because, again, I think it's a combination of what defenses have been doing. But I also think Penn State has a lot left in the playbook that they haven't opened up just yet.
And the way I look at it, too, there have been very few negative plays with the running backs. They're always getting yardage. And with the passing game, I'll take it as a plus that Drew Aller was able to say, look, they're not giving me the deep ball. I'll go underneath. I will get those 12 play drives. When you complete 22 out of 26 passes, Jeff, I'm okay with it.
And that stuff is going to help set up those long balls later. I mean, that helps set up what you want to see in terms of the explosive plays.
Let's go quickly to the other side of the ball. If there's anything, Jeff, in a way, it's the same as the offense. Where are the big plays? Is there concern, you know, your stars, your Abdul Carters and Chop Robinsons, they're not getting the splash plays. Is this, is it any cause for concern to you?
It would be more of a concern to me than anything else we've talked about. Just because turnovers are such a big part of college football. And listen, Drew Aller has done a great job, obviously, through two games, and the offense has, of protecting the football. But you're going to have a game or two along the way, no matter how good you are and how much you preach it and you have good habits. It's inevitable. You're going to have a game where you turn the ball over two or three times. You need to get the ball back two or three times in those games. I'm not going to sit here and tell you that it's, you know, time to panic because this defense isn't coming up with a lot of plays. They did come up with some against Delaware. But, you know, I would have thought through two games we'd see more turnovers for Penn State by this defense. But I don't think it's you know, a huge concern at this point. But I think it, I've got to believe it is a point of emphasis in practice is, listen, we're doing a good job keeping the plays in front of us. For the most part, we're making tackles, following assignments, a couple of notable breakdowns in against West Virginia and one against Delaware. But for the most part, I mean, they've been solid. But yeah, I think the next step here is, all right, now let's get some plays that can change the game around in a competitive game. And I, again, I'm not saying it's a big concern right now, but to me, it's more of a concern than the other things we talked about through two games. I think it could very easily be rectified and maybe something that you're after the next two games. Like, oh no, this is a big play defense, but we need to see it.
And, you know, in these two games, it's funny watching the game, you're saying, where is that big play? Where is that splash play? But the fact of the matter is, when you start to look at the stat sheet after the game, you've got a Delaware team, five first downs all game, other than the one play. And I think you had both those teams almost like they were playing not to get blown out. Get rid of the ball quickly. Don't take any chances downfield. I believe even in the West Virginia game, the Todd Blackledge calling the game was saying, hey, they're going to have to throw the ball down the field here if they want to put up some points and have a chance at this game, and they never really did that. All right, Jeff, that's it for quarter two. As promised, quarter three, we're going to preview the Illinois game. Stay tuned for that.
Hey guys, this is Andrew from 409 Tailgate Club, here to talk to you about our new coffee barbecue dry rub set. Over the years, we've developed some great tailgate sauces and barbecue dry rubs, but our new coffee rubs are totally unique spice blends, low in sodium, and feature Happy Valley's finest coffee, W.C. Clark's, roasted right in the cheese shop in downtown State College. So head on over to 409tailgateclub.com, grab yourself some coffee rubs, and remember, always tailgate with honor. We are.
Let's get back to the action on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number three. He's Jeff. I'm Jim. As I mentioned earlier, we've got Coach Caduti coming up in quarter number four. So this is our last segment with Jeff. So that means we got to do our preview of the game, and we've got to get Jeff's prediction for the game, which we will do before the segment is done. Jeff, let's start. Quick look at this Illinois team. Going into the season, I think there was some concern. Illinois played well last season. They played the style of game that, as a Penn State fan, you have those ugly visions of a couple years ago, when they put out all those offensive linemen and just tried to play that ugly rock fight kind of game. But through two games, this Illinois team does not look very good.
It does not. And again, I will say, I think both of their first two opponents maybe are a little underrated, but that Kansas game, they just got pushed around. The one thing I didn't think Illinois would do is get pushed around, especially with their defensive line. And, you know, Kansas took control at the line of scrimmage. And that's why, again, I think we'll get a better indication of really how good this offensive line of Penn State's is, or where they're at with this game Saturday. But, yeah, this is an Illinois team that, you know, really I think has been one of the more disappointing teams in the Big Ten through the first couple of games. And I still think there's potential there for them to be solid. I, you know, not a Big Ten championship team, but I think they can, you know, still get this team to where it's solid. Whether or not they can do it in a week after what we saw, especially in the first half against Kansas, I guess if you're looking at it from the Illinois perspective, it's, you know, hey, we kept battling and we got ourselves back into it to some degree in the second half there against Kansas, and maybe we can build on that. But this just feels like a spot where Penn State can hit some of those explosive plays we were talking about, maybe open it up a little bit more and continue to build the confidence. And again, I don't think there's any danger whatsoever that this team Penn State is going to overlook Illinois after what happened a couple of years ago. And I think that is why I feel very good about what I think is going to happen here Saturday in Champaign.
What I do wonder about, though, it's a good news, bad news thing if you're Illinois. The good news is their quarterback leads the team in rushing, so he's a threat. The bad news is their quarterback leads the team in rushing, so yeah. Where's the rest of their running game, right?
Yeah, and, you know, and listen, Penn State saw that, I guess, to some degree with West Virginia. Again, West Virginia also had a great running back, but I think that having that experience against West Virginia benefits Penn State. And I think the athleticism that Penn State has in the linebacking core and the defensive ends, again, the middle, my guess is Illinois, as you said earlier, I think Illinois goes into this game saying our best chance to win, maybe our only chance to win, is to, much like we talked about with West Virginia, is we've got to win the rushing battle. We've got to control the time of possession, and we've just got to try to run it up the middle, wear Penn State down a bit, pick our spots here and there where, you know, we think we can lull them into a false sense of security and maybe hit a big play or two, and then keep everything in front of you defensively, much like we saw both West Virginia and Delaware at least try to do. So I just think it's a tall order for Illinois. I think much like the first two games, just when you go down talent position by position, there's not many spots there where you would say Penn State doesn't have the advantage. And in several of those cases, I think it's a pretty distinct advantage.
I'm with you on that. Any concern? This is Drew Aller, of course, a very young quarterback. He has been so poised, so calm through all of this. He really has. And I don't think of Illinois as that hostile environment. However, it's still first game on the road for him as a starter.
I don't have any concern about that going in, just because of who he is and the demeanor he has and what he has at his disposal. So I don't think the, you know, we've talked with Goon Conlon this week about the, how much he loved going on those first road games, because there's, you just get that close feeling as a team, and you kind of like going out and embracing the environment on the road. And yeah, this is not an especially hostile, they'll be up for it. Illinois will, and it'll be a noisy stadium as far as it goes, but you know, this is not going to be an intimidating atmosphere for Penn State. And more importantly, it's not an intimidating team that Penn State is facing. That being said, I will say, you know, I think defensively Illinois will try to throw some different things at Drew Aller and try to get him off of his game by not allowing him to go through his progressions. And that is the one thing, if they are successful at that, again, we just got to see it. I'm not especially worried about it. I think Drew Aller has shown that his decision-making is really solid. And if under pressure, I expect that he will still make the right decision. And sometimes that may be just throwing the ball away, getting rid of it and living to play another down. But you do want to see that. I want to see it. Not necessarily, I guess, against Illinois. I'd like to see that offensive line hold up strong. And we don't have that answer even necessarily after this game. But I suspect that at least in some spots in this game, again, Illinois will load up, come from different angles, and you know, we'll see how both the offensive line and Drew Aller respond. And I think it'll be I think it will be good. I think the response will be solid, and I think we'll have, again, a little better feel, a little better idea that yeah, these guys are pretty good. This offensive line and this quarterback are going to be able to do some good things even against a better defense, albeit, again, I don't think one of the elite defenses by any stretch that Penn State will face this season.
No, it's not. And Jeff, I think Penn State's schedule, I believe, has been lined up pretty well for them. That first game at home, West Virginia, it wasn't a MAC team. It wasn't the walkover. It was a night game, the crowd really into it. You kind of got that out of the way. The Delaware game, you said, look, this is a team you should put away. You know you're not going to lose this game, but can we be efficient? Can we avoid being sloppy? Can we get a lot of players in there? Now, this is the first road game. It's the first Big Ten game. What is it you want to see this team accomplish in this game?
The two things that I guess I'm most hoping for is big plays, both by offense and defense. I'd like to see Nicholas Singleton break off a 70-yard touchdown run, or Drew Aller hit Keandre Lambert-Smith for a 70-yard touchdown pass. Again, it doesn't have to be six or seven of those plays, but I'd like to see a big, big long touchdown play or two along the way. I do want to see how the offensive line holds up against, again, I think a better defensive front than Penn State's faced, at least a couple of guys that I think are more dangerous than anybody Penn State has faced to this point. And then the other thing, Jim, I still want to see this kicking game. I want to see, you know, again, hopefully you don't see much more of the punter, but when Riley does go out there, you'd like to see him be consistent. And I think he will be. I'm not as worried about that. I know some folks are. I know what he's only had, is it three punts, right, to this point in the season? And, you know, so
I believe so.
One third of those was not a great punt. So for whatever it's worth, but I'm not as worried about him. And the place kicking, you know, until we see some field goals consistently made, I do think that is a big question mark. And again, I'm a little bit torn there. Do I necessarily want to see that against Illinois? No, I'd like to see them finishing off those drives with touchdowns. But, you know, then you're still going to have that uneasiness. Hey, if there is a spot where you need that 36-yard field goal to win it, I don't know, because you need to do that in game situations. That's something that obviously you can't really replicate in practice. So I say I want to see that. I want to see the consistency with the field goal game. But if you pin me down, no, I don't really want to see it this week, because I want to see these guys finishing off drives against a team like Illinois.
That's it. We never want to see those kickers out on the field. I really want to see those big plays on offense, Jeff, but it's not because I'm upset that we didn't see him in those first two games, because I think Drew Aller actually passed a different test, which was facing a team that said, we don't want to let you have the big play. What are you going to do about it if we don't let you show off that big, strong arm? And what he said was, well, how about if I just complete about 80% of my passes underneath, keep moving the chains, have these long drives? So that's worked out well. I'm more anxious to see on defense that team that we saw the last half of last year that was just making crazy splash plays.
I'm with you. Yeah, I guess I didn't finish off my thought, because, yeah, I do want to see the big play offensively. But, yeah, I think this is a game where Penn State, if it is the dynamic defense that we're thinking it is, you ought to be getting creating three turnovers throughout the course of this afternoon. You ought to be able to get pressure in there, you know, as the quarterback's running around. Somebody ought to be able to fly up behind and pop the ball out of there. So, yeah, I do want to see turnovers and big plays. If not turnovers, at least sacks, tackles for loss, where you're changing the field position around. If it's not through a turnover, it's by getting the ball back and giving your offense a shorter field than what they had when they last possessed it. So I do think that's an important next step for Penn State to take. And, you know, the good news is, at least in my eyes, and, you know, I'm certainly not taking Illinois and definitely not Iowa for granted, but I do think you have 3 weeks here to kind of figure this out in terms of, all right, we've got the defense to where it needs to be for what I consider the meat of the schedule here to finish things up.
Okay, Jeff, we need a prediction.
Yeah, I keep thinking that Illinois may be a little better than what we're thinking based on the results of the first two games. I keep trying to talk myself into, listen, I do think that is a good Toledo team, and I think it's a good Kansas team. But listen, I also think this is a really good Penn State team, and I just think Penn State does win this thing comfortably. I have it 38-10, Nittany Lions, and I could see it being a wider margin, but I'll stick with 38-10 here on Saturday.
I have it 42-10, Jeff. My thinking is just, it's just playing a much better team that the Nittany Lions are than what we've seen from Illinois. I don't care that they're on the road. I think it's a big win. That is it for Jeff today. Stick around. We got Coach Caduti coming up next.
Hey guys, this is Andrew from 409 Tailgate Club, here to talk to you about our new coffee barbecue dry rub set. Over the years, we've developed some great tailgate sauces and barbecue dry rubs, but our new coffee rubs are totally unique spice blends, low in sodium, and feature Happy Valley's finest coffee, W.C. Clark's, roasted right in the cheese shop in downtown State College. So head on over to 409tailgateclub.com, grab yourself some coffee rubs, and remember, always tailgate with honor. We are.
We head to the home stretch in quarter number four on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I am Jim Galante, along with the coach, Nick Caduti, from ForTheBloggy.com. Remember to check out their great YouTube channel. That's ForTheBloggy on YouTube. Coach does the great videos, does the tape review. Coach, as always, great to have you on the show.
Hey, Jim. Thanks, man. Appreciate you having me in.
Well, it's always great. We got a lot to get to. You've put out a couple videos over the last couple weeks that were really interesting, a lot of fun to watch. If you are a super fan of Penn State football, I highly recommend them. They're fantastic. The first one, Coach, was on Drew Aller. Let's start with that one. Last season, you and I had a conversation about Drew Aller, mostly positive, but if you had one criticism of him then, it was that he would seem to get a little careless with his footwork. What are you seeing on this year's tape? Has he cleaned any of that up?
Yeah, I mean, really, you can tell that his consistency and efficiency has definitely cleaned up. You know, they talk about how, you know, if your footwork is consistent, then your arm work is going to be consistent. And I feel like there's really a big one I showed you earlier in the video, just a simple now smoke screen that he shot off on the left side and the exact same throw he shot off last year that he overthrew. That consistent footwork has led him to be a little more successful in his throws. And, you know, for the most part, I'd say that those freshman mistakes that he made last year as being coming off the bench, that, you know, the first couple of games, he hasn't made those mistakes, especially technically speaking.
You know, Coach, there's a lot of talk among Penn State fans about not seeing the big play. We'll get to the running game and that issue also. But with the passing game, here we saw this big, strong guy coming in. We imagine the ball being chucked all over the field. But instead, what we're seeing is what appears to be a very patient Drew Aller. Not only patient, but a guy who's able to go through his reads and progress through them. Tell me about that and just how that, to me, appears like the work of a mature quarterback, not a young guy who's starting for the first time.
Yeah, it takes a lot for a quarterback, especially a big, strong-armed kid that likes to just chuck it, to be able to go through his progressions and check down to the easy routes, because, you know, most of those guys want that highlight reel throw. You know, most quarterbacks do. I mean, heck, my quarterbacks do right now, you know, and you have to drill in their head, hey, throw the flat. It's not a bad route, you know? And so he's done a really good job with that. I think the other thing you got to look at is if you go back and look, especially against, like, Delaware, where you think you're going to see a lot of shot plays, you know, Delaware played at safeties at 12 to 15 yards deep to take away those deep shots. And a lot of it, I think, has to do with the fear of the speed out wide with Penn State and the big arm ability of Aller. I think that what they did was they really, you know, a lot of teams are taking this huge umbrella over the top and keeping everything in front so there is no big plays, you know. And so, you know, for him to go through, I think I put it in the video of, you know, how he went through four reads in one play, just boom, 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 boom. You know, that's hard to do. It's hard to do for any quarterback, especially a kid who's 19 years old, who, you know, wants to sling it, who had a lot of success in high school slinging it. So I was really impressed. I'm really impressed with his patience. That's the makings of something great.
It really is. And I found it fascinating, Coach, when I was at the West Virginia game watching, and there were a couple plays where the pocket would start to collapse a little bit. He would move in, within the pocket, show some patience. I'm up above looking down saying, hey, kid, you've got 5-10 yards right in front of you to run. But he had the patience to look for maybe his third option.
Yeah.
That really impressed me.
Same here. And that's super impressive to see a kid, you know, go through that and take away the whole, I don't really care about the me thing. I'm just going to set myself up. I'm going to keep myself poised in the pocket. You know, but he really hasn't been hit yet, right? He hasn't really been. And so when he gets in a big game against an Ohio State, against a Michigan, when the D-line is fierce and atrocious, you know, or ferocious, you're going to see them. You're going to see what he's going to do. And I think finding a good pass rush is going to really make you figure out who he is in the pocket.
Well, again, going back to the West Virginia game where they did try to put some pressure on him a few times, what I liked was a couple times a defender had him wrapped up and he was strong enough to stay up and throw the ball away.
Well, I don't
and
think
you avoid
realize
a loss.
How big Drew Allar is. I mean, that's a big kid. Like, he's a giant of a human being. You know, and it goes back to, I use people like Ryan Leaf all the time, you know, and I knew Ryan, and I don't think people realize that Ryan was truly built like an offensive lineman, and Drew is built. I mean, that's a large human being who's got a lot of strength behind what he does, and so there's not a lot of people, if they get a hand on, are going to take him down. It's going to take a full-fledged shot.
And at, I believe it's like 245 pounds he's at. Defensive tackles are probably bigger than him. I'm not sure how many other defensive players are going to actually be bigger than him.
Oh, 100%. And he's a large human being, and it's going to take a lot. And the fact that he's willing to just step up is pretty impressive.
So, yes, and we had to be impressed with him. Again, this Delaware game, 22 for 26. You're a coach. That kind of percentage, I said, you're fortunate to be 22 of 26 against air, let alone having a defense out there.
Yeah, it's really impressive. And I think what's more impressive about it was the fact that he did it, and he did it with a team that was trying to take everything over the top away from him. You know, 22 or 26, and a lot of those weren't even really play-action opportunities. They were, a lot of those were drop-back, you know, progression reads. And so that's impressive. That's a very impressive statistic for a run-first team.
One last note on Drew Allar, and this is going back to the video, and I think you alluded to this earlier. They played a wide receiver screen. The accuracy isn't just about making the completion. It's where you complete the ball to the receiver. I think in that situation, it was to his left shoulder, lead shoulder, coach.
Yeah, so when you throw those smoke screens, you want to put your receiver in a good situation, right? So I want to be able to lead my receiver to where he's got to go. And so that receiver is, you know, he's stuttering his steps. He's going to pop his chest up, and it's Allar's job to lead that ball to the receiver so that as he catches the ball, he can roll into his vertical placement. And I think that, you know, last year he would throw it high. He'd throw it back shoulder, you know, and that makes the receiver have to stop, change directions, and get moved back over that way. You know, I think that as a maturing quarterback, to be able to throw that ball to the front side shoulder, something very minute, right? Something small that people don't really think about. Those are big deals. And that's the difference between a 2-yard gain and a 7-yard gain.
It definitely is. All right, coach, let's move on to the running game. Very similar to the passing game, that we're not seeing the big plays. We know there are two really good running backs there, Nick Singleton and Catron Allen. And through two games, I don't think either one of them has a run beyond 20 yards. What did you see watching that? What did you see as the cause of that no big runs?
You know, I think a lot of it goes back to, you know, and to give props to the defenses that they've seen this year, a couple things you look at. Number one, you've got a team like, you know, Delaware, right? So they're going to umbrella you. They're going to have guys over the top. They want to keep everything in front because they know athletically they can't keep up, right? If somebody breaks the line, it's gone. There's nothing they can do at this point. And so that's part of it. But, you know, I'm really sadly disappointed with the ability of the receivers and their blocking. I'm struggling with it. I think that, you know, that's been something that I'm sure has been addressed in meeting rooms by the receivers coach. You know, they'd always say the difference between a 10-yard gain and a 50-yard gain is the receivers blocking safeties and corners. And so you're seeing a lot of the offensive line dominating at the point of attack, but receivers letting up corners and safeties for free plays. And, you know, I think that causes the difference between those big plays, you know? So I think you've got a combination of things. You've got defenses that are playing over the top, trying to keep everything in front. And then you've got receiver blocking that's not nearly what it probably should be. You know what I mean?
Yeah. In your tape, you demonstrated a few times and a couple times to name some names. Number six is Trey Wallace. And the difference is you getting these running backs, especially like Nick Singleton, you're getting him into the secondary. You're thinking, boy, it's just one more block, just one more. And you know, you add 40 or 50 more yards onto the run.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think, those guys can coach at Penn State. I mean, let's get real. We can coach. And so I'm sure that has been addressed in meetings. If a guy like me who, you know, breaks down the film and not nearly as a detailed version as their coaches do, you know, knowing the game plan, I'm sure that that meeting room has been quite volatile, if you will say that, to try to eliminate that, because that's truly game changing. Those are game changing plays that should have been happening that weren't because of a laziness or a lack of confidence.
And that's the thing that gets, I'm sure, to coaches. Fans don't like it, but if you hear lack of effort or lack of focus, you think, okay, that should be fixable, that they should be able to take care of. While I've got you, one other topic I wanted to bring up to you, especially as we're talking about things on the offensive side of the football, and you know Mike Yurcich, he went from the sideline last season, now he's up in the box, and on the surface, you would have thought a year ago he's talking with he's got a six-year senior as a quarterback. You would think that's a guy who wouldn't need the help on the sidelines, where this year you have the first-year starter in Drew Aller, and he chooses to go up to the press box. What did that tell you?
You know, it told me a couple things, and really I think it might be a growth thing for both. I think when you look at the way the game is called, I think the first thing you look at is Yurcich calls a game based on a few things, and I think with the two different quarterbacks, you've got two different play style of game calling. And I think that, you know, being in the booth and looking down at the game is like looking at a video game, for those of you guys that have ever played a video game. And it's a lot easier to see the broad spectrum. And I think that truly that is what he's looking for. I think there's a lot more passing, a lot more true drop back with Drew. You know, maybe less RPO game, more, you know, true progression game. And you can see that. You can also see the formation shifting and motion that they're getting themselves into. I bring that up on the video. You know, a lot of creating the same look with a different idea behind it. I think that part of that is he is coaching from the box to see the bigger picture. And the other thing is because I felt like maybe last year he wanted to be on the field to feel like he was a part of it. You know, a lot of guys just do it. And they feel like maybe this is what I need to do. I think that's what we need to do, yada, yada, yada. And, there's not really a thing for it. But I can tell you that as a coach, you disassociate yourself emotionally in the booth and you see the bigger picture, if that makes sense. So he saw something that he wants.
Very good, Coach. Unfortunately, that's it. As always, the time just goes way too fast. Thank you all for joining us. Thank you, Coach. Make sure you join us next time on the Keystone Kickoff Show.
Hey, guys, this is Andrew from 409 Tailgate Club, here to talk to you about our new coffee barbecue dry rub set. Over the years, we've developed some great tailgate sauces and barbecue dry rubs, but our new coffee rubs are totally unique spice blends, low in sodium, and feature Happy Valley's finest coffee, W.C. Clark's, roasted right in the cheese shop in downtown State College. So head on over to 409tailgateclub.com, grab yourself some coffee rubs, and remember, always tailgate with honor. We are.